not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, tonight is no exception, but it seems like when we gather together on Wednesday nights, we share prayer requests that have to do with problems that are manifold, problems that are, in a lot of cases, bigger than we are. And it might be that as the people of God, we sometimes get lured into thinking that we should be spared from trouble. We should be spared from the problems of life. After all, we're representing the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. Shouldn't that buy us something? But that's not what the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthian believers here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But rather, he tells them that there's a purpose for it all. And I think sometimes we tend to, or at least I know I do anyway, tend to lose sight of that and need to be reminded once and again. He says in verse 7 that we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And that is a reference to an Old Testament illustration. You'll remember Gideon and the Midianites. He had a small army, 300, whittled down to 300 by the commandment of the Lord. They encompassed the mighty host of the Midianites with a torch in one hand with a clay pot over it and a sword in the other hand. And at the sound of the trumpet, they were to break the pots so that the light could be seen. And they were to say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And watch what the Lord was going to do. And you'll recall that story, what happened. The Midianites, seeing all those lights come on, those flashlights in those days, they started running hither and yon among in the camp, and many of them slew one another, it says in the scriptures. They were confused. And it says that the Lord wrought a great victory that night through Gideon against the host of the Midianites. And Paul tells us here that just like that victory, we have a victory in life, but it's only when the excellency of the glory is seen to be on the inside, not on the outside. It's only when the earthen vessel is cracked, is broken, that the glory within is able to be beheld. And so we shouldn't shrink away from those times of persecution. In this country, we haven't seen that, but I fear we are. And if we don't, the next generation most certainly will. But we shouldn't fear trouble in our lives either. can be very easy for us to get to a point in our lives when, like Elijah the Tishbite, we sit down under a juniper tree and we say, "It's enough, O Lord. Take now my life from me. It's better that I depart and be with my fathers." And the Lord says to that faithful servant, he said, "I've reserved 7,000 that have not bent the knee to Baal. Get up and go forth." But I'd like to look at just the last remaining verses, verses 15 through 18. Why do bad things happen to good people? Verse 15, he says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." The reason why bad things are allowed to happen in the life of a believer is so that God might get the glory. And you say, "Man, that sounds really strange to my ears." But it's been proven time and time and time again. I'm sure that there are very few in this room tonight that haven't had one calamity or another happen in their life, and they can point back to a loving God, and they can point back to the Lord Jesus and how much they learned about him through all that, and how they would say today that if they had to go through an experience like that again, that they would do it again. Not changing anything, not the pain, not the hurt, nothing. The suffering, not change any of it, because they learned so much more about the Lord Jesus through that time frame. It is for the glory of God. Turn to Isaiah 42. Isaiah 42 and verse 8, the Lord says, "I am the Lord, and that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." The Lord is very particular about his glory. He doesn't give us of his glory that we might get the glory. He gives us of his glory that glory might be seen to be his. And so when things like death of a loved one, injury, car accidents, or tornado, taking away all your possessions. When these things happen in our lives, we can say, the earthen vessel is being broken, isn't it? That the glory might be revealed. In Isaiah 43 and verse 7, he says, "Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him." So the Lord has a glory, and he's very protective about that glory, and yet it says here that men have been created for the glory of God. And sometimes I struggle with that in my life. We stop asking the question, don't we? What would the Lord have me to do? And we start thinking about what we should do or what we want to do, you know, so that it reflects well on us in our life, right? So that we get the glory instead of the Lord getting the glory. And everything that I do as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ should scream out glory for the Lord Jesus. Glory for him alone. You know, it's been well said that God does not want more glory from our lives. He wants the most glory from our lives. And sometimes it's strange, but it has a way of working itself out through trouble when he gets the most glory. Why do bad things happen to good people? For the glory of God. Verse 16, For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man may perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For the strengthening of the inner man. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. He says in verse 16 that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with all might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Bad things happen to good people for the strengthening of the inner man. Now, about a month ago when Ryan was here last, he put me on a diet and got me in the gym and told me different weight exercises to do. And I got to tell you, at first my muscles were like screaming at me, saying, "What in the world do you think you're doing? You're not 20 years old anymore." And now it's kind of like I kind of look forward to going. It's kind of strange the way that happens. But when you start receiving strength, it's a good feeling, isn't it? And it's no different for the child of God. When we are going through this life and our inner man is strengthened, well, that's a good feeling, isn't it? It's not all about feelings, though, is it, with the believer in Christ? It's not just so that we can walk around feeling good about things, but it's being able to know Him. To know Him. And that's what he was saying here in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. How is our inner man strengthened? Well, he says it in verse 16, it is by his Spirit. You know, in our house, I'm sure it's a lot different than yours, but in our house, there's always a lot of activity. I think about the only time there's no activity in the house is around 2 a.m. when everybody's in bed asleep. And sometimes when there's chores to be done, there's no activity either. it's kind of funny how that happens, but there's activity. And what he says here in verse 16 is, strengthened by all might, with might, by his Spirit in the inner man. To where the Spirit of God actually exercises not the muscles that we have, but the gifts that have been bestowed on each and every one who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And the Spirit of God is seeking opportunity in your life and in my life, whether it be here in the assembly, or it be in our homes, or it be in the place where we work, or just out in public at large, the Spirit of God is seeking opportunity to flex those gifts, to use them, to use them. In verse 17, he says that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. The word there, may dwell, means to be at home. And you know, it's one thing when you're at home with the family. It's another thing when company's coming over. And trust me, we know all about that this week. You're rushing around, getting everything ready. You're getting the house cleaned up. You're making sure everything looks nice and all that for company, because company's coming. Unfortunately for the believer in Christ, because of the world in which we live and because of our own weakness and failure, when the Lord is residing in our hearts, he's not at home so much as he is scurrying around picking up the junk of our lives. You know, I don't know what it is about fathers, but it seems like that's one of your jobs, is that you walk around the house always, whose is this? Well, get it out of here. It's not in the right spot, you know. Take it to your room or whatever. I think the Lord sometimes does that with our lives too. I know he does with mine. It doesn't belong here. It needs to be taken care of. Instead of him being able to relax, to be at home in my heart, because I've been strengthened with all might in the inner man, because I know what his word says and I'm being obedient to it. Verse 18, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And there's the gathering together of the Lord's people, isn't it? So we have three things. We have the Spirit of God. We have the Lord Jesus himself doing his work in our hearts, and we have gathering together with the Lord's people to strengthen us with all might in the inner man. There should be no excuse for any of us with weak knees and, you know, feeling like we just can't go another step. He's given us enough strength to carry on for the strengthening of the inner man. He says, it is renewed day by day. We just sang that hymn this evening. Day by day. How long do you go without food? And no one looks anorexic here tonight. So pretty much we all go every so many hours before we eat the next meal. Day by day. That strengthening needs to take place. You know, Monday the gym was closed because of Memorial Day, so I wasn't able to go to the gym Monday. And so yesterday I went and did a double set but I missed it. I was hoping it was open because I wanted to go. I don't usually go on Saturday and Sunday, so Monday I'm really looking forward to getting in there again. And that's how it should be for us with the strengthening of the inner man. We should look forward to it. Not that as though it's a drudgery to read the scriptures, to pray, to gather together with the Lord's people, but that we should anticipate it. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why do bad things happen to good people? To work for us a more lasting glory. We had this text hanging, framed, in the hallway, the Gospel Folio Press. It was written in calligraphy. Written in such a manner that it formed a mountaintop. Because the apostle here in verse 17 puts superlative on top of superlative on top of superlative to try to explain to our hearts this whole idea of a more lasting glory. He says, our light affliction, and that's it. That's all the amount of words he gives to the trouble that we face in life. Our light affliction. Light, when it comes to affliction, is a good thing. We want there to be less of ourselves, you know, when we step on the scale. So light can be a good thing. And here he says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, just a brief amount of time. It's measured. It's here and then it's gone. And then he says, it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter, who knew something about suffering, writes this in verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It works for us a far more exceeding and eternal way to glory. When my brother-in-law passed away at 29, he had two favorite verses the last couple of weeks of his life. The first one was 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And this was his second one. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know, when life is good, we tend not to think about the eternal weight of glory. But maybe we ought to pay more attention to it. And then in verse 18, he says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Why do bad things happen to good people? To assure us that the unseen is eternal. Years ago, if you walked out onto the Hollywood sets in California, where they would produce movies, you would see things that looked like they were real. Real neighborhoods, real buildings, brick and mortar. And open the door and walk through it and find out it's just a bunch of plywood held together by nails, propped it up by 2x4s. Impressive looking on the outside, not so much on the other side. And this world is kind of like that, isn't it? It has made us as believers sometimes think that this world is all there is. Elisha's servant thought that the hosts that were surrounding him and his master at Dothan thought that that was all there was. And Elijah said, Lord, open his eyes. And he saw the armies of the Lord encamped around that army. If the Lord could just pull back the curtain for just a moment for us this evening, we'd find out exactly what's more eternal. We'd say, and it's not this life. And it's not the possessions that I have. And it's not the job or the glory or the fame that I receive. It's the Lord Jesus. To assure us that the unseen is eternal. We're told in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That all the important things that we read in the Word of God are things that you can't see. 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, and love. You can't see those things. You can see the effects of those things, but you can't see those things. Beloved, there is far more waiting for us ahead than for us to look at this life as though it's permanent. We're all in the process of dying. One of us in this room, and I regret saying this, but one of us in this room is going to be the next one of us to go. And I know there's a few that are probably wanting to raise their hand saying, take me. The glory is on ahead. The glory is not here. The glory is not now. Why do bad things happen to good people? For His glory, for the strengthening of the inner man, to work for us a more lasting glory, and to assure us that the unseen is eternal. May the Lord help us all to focus our attention on the things that matter most, not the things so much of this life, but the things of eternity are the things that really count. Father, we are thankful again this evening for this opportunity to come before Thee in prayer. And Father, I apologize if I've taken too much time and I've taken some time away for some requests to have been made in prayer tonight. But we're thankful that You know the thoughts and intents of our heart. You know these requests intimately already. And Father, we pray that through Your Spirit, that Your work will be done in this world through us, through the believers in Christ. Father, we pray that as we all go through it and we hear of trouble and we experience trouble in our own lives, that we might be able to put it in that heavenly perspective to know that there is a purpose for it all. And it's not that as believers in Christ we are to be shielded from the trouble, but we're so thankful that we know that the One who allows these things to happen in our lives does so lovingly, that He might receive the glory from it, and that we might learn a little bit more about who He is, that we might be able with all the saints to know the length and breadth and depth and height of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We give You thanks in His precious and holy name. Amen.